This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Let me start with the American elections. And from your perspective, how big a role do you feel WikiLeaks had in the outcome of the election? You didn't think Donald Trump was going to win.
I didn't think Donald Trump would win. I thought the establishment, for want of a better word, would see Hillary Clinton losing and then would pile in more money and more energy in various TV networks or on her side and make sure that she won. I think that analysis was still correct, but it missed something fundamental, which is that the amount of investment to the Hillary Clinton campaign was in proportion to the degree that the establishment thought that she would lose. And she was aggressively projecting that she would be the inevitable winner and was above, 5-10 points in the opinion polling. So she only got $1.5 billion directed into her campaign. If they thought she was going to lose, maybe she would have gotten $5 billion. We'd see a different result.
It's very interesting post-election, and it didn't even really happen immediately, but the narrative has begun that, in fact, the U.S. government is accusing WikiLeaks of having received materials from Russia and Russia's cyber criminals with the political agenda of influencing the election. And obviously they're talking not just about the John Podesta emails, the DNC emails, but in other ways. I've asked you before, I'll ask you again today. Did Russia give you this information or anybody associated with Russia?
Our source is not a state party, so the answer for our interactions is no. But if we look at the most recent statement by the U.S. government, which is on the 29th of December, we had five different branches of government, Treasury, DHS, FBI, White House, presenting their accusations to underpin Obama's throwing out 35 Russian diplomats. What was missing from all of those statements? The word WikiLeaks. This is very strange. Now, my interpretation is that there's either, not surprisingly, a problem they feel with the evidence as far as WikiLeaks is concerned. Well, James Clapper said, we don't know how WikiLeaks got this information. We don't know when WikiLeaks got this information. But let's imagine that they are saying, okay, the problem here is that WikiLeaks published information. What are they saying? WikiLeaks published true information that the American public read. That information was the words of Hillary Clinton and her campaign manager, John Podesta, and other people in her campaign, and the American public read that information, true information, and said, we don't like these people, and then voted accordingly. That's not sustainable. So what they want to do instead is conflate our publication of true information with, say, hacking, or rather alleged hacking, of US vote counting machines. And even Obama has had to admit that there has been no hacking of US vote counting machines.
No evidence of that. So, but the main focus for most Americans, they are being told by Hillary Clinton's campaign, by the President of the United States, there are the Department of Homeland Security, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, etc., that in fact WikiLeaks was working with the Russian government to influence the election. Is that true in any way, shape, matter, or form?
No, that's absolutely false. And if you read their statements carefully, you'll see they don't actually say that. They kind of mentioned one fact here and one fact there and nothing else. In the most up-to-date information, on the 29th of December, where the FBI, DHS, White House, etc. made a statement, what is completely absent from all those statements is WikiLeaks. Totally absent. So what's going on? Well, I believe two things are going on. Number one, they don't have the evidence that WikiLeaks is involved in that way. Now, why am I confident about that? Well, because there is one person in the world, and I think it's actually only one, who knows exactly what is going on with our publications.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. How you doing? Happy New Year to you. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, to be in the flow of the know of everything that is happening, go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there, including our past shows and interviews with the experts that we bring on here to bring us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. Because if we've got choices to make, I think we could all agree we're better off when we do it based on fact and not opinion. And we know in the absence of fact, opinion rules, and that's been part of the problem here in our country, is there's been too much room for opinion, and now they want to call it fake news and everything else to finally get to some sort of reasonable conclusion that some of the communication that's out there is rather fake. It is loaded with propaganda and spin, and it is our job and our commitment to ferret that out on your behalf. Dr. Herb London, you talk about somebody who can take the spin out of everything, including your dryer, may I say, the president of the London Center for Policy Research. The London Center for Policy Research, just so you understand, has been organized to engage in research on the key policy issues of our time that affect our national security, energy, and risk analysis. Dr. Herb, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Well, Bill, a pleasure to be with you, and let me wish you all the best for the new year.
Well, thank you very much, and back at you and everybody with the London Center. Herb, what President Obama did on his way out, some said stabbing Israel in the back, Bibi Netanyahu said back nothing. It was right in the heart. It was right in our very chest here. What this president seemed to ignite here, some would say unintended consequences, and I say baloney. I mean, he did this willfully, and the thing that he put into motion with the Palestinians is just the opposite. I mean, if he was going for peace, why would he abstain and allow our number one ally in the world to be kicked to the curb like this and be subjected now to, in a sense, the international endorsement of the Palestinian worldview against Israel?
Well, Bill, you stated it very well. I mean, frankly, what you have here is the pretense of peace and the policy of war, because what has happened is if you put in place the 67 borders as a requirement for any kind of Palestinian state, that in fact, even the Jewish quarter in the old city is in violation of the understanding emerging from the United Nations. So that everything in Israel is now up to grabs. The 67 border, of course, was an artificial border and a border that was created by Jordan. If you wanted a Palestinian state, one of the questions that might very well be asked, in the 19 years that Jordan had control of this area, why wasn't there one request, one proposal within the United Nations for a Palestinian state? Why is it only a Palestinian state when the Jews control this territory? Right. I mean, it's a very, very interesting question for anyone who's looking at this matter dispassionately.
Well, and not only are they controlling, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but not only are they controlling it, but they rehab the land. I mean, they now made it livable.
itself.
Right.
Well, made it livable and, of course, increased the standard of living. If you were to ask the average Palestinian, what do you really want? Forget about Hamas and forget about Hezbollah and forget about the Iranian Quds. Just ask the average guy in Ramallah, what do you want? The first thing they would say is an entry pass into Israel proper so that we can find a decent job. That's what they're looking for.
Right.
So the idea that somehow a Palestinian state is on the front burner of most Palestinians is absurd. It has no meaning. You cannot have a state without an infrastructure. You cannot have a state without a parliament. You cannot have a state without a president. They've had a president who was elected for 4 years and is now in his 12th year. So what does that mean? So in any respect, in every major respect, this is an absurd proposal by President Obama and obviously an attempt to undermine the Netanyahu administration. And oddly, he has done so because the International Court, the Hague Court, will now say every piece of property that Israel occupies since 1967 is, in a sense, illegal. They're occupying it illegally. So even Hamas and Hezbollah have some justification for attacking Israel at this point.
Exactly.
That's why I said this is the pretense of peace, but the policy of war. Because if you provide justification for these nations, these entities, terrorist entities, to attack Israel, then in fact all bets are off. War is just around the corner.
Right.
And that's what Obama has done.
Yeah, they've already been shelling Israel. I mean, we've known historically what the situation has been. There's been knife intifadas. There's been car intifadas like what's being demonstrated in Europe where, you know, Israelis have been attacked. In fact, when I was in Israel last year, the night before we left, there was a single mom with four kids that a Palestinian went in and knifed her to death, killed her. And we could not even go. I mean, here it is. We're on just on the other side of Christmas talking about coming to Bethlehem and everything. We weren't allowed to even go and visit Bethlehem, Herb.
Well, I think that it's shameful. And it demonstrates a good deal about the role that the Obama foreign policy has played in world affairs. The world is in disarray. And it's in disarray in large part because you have the intentional withdrawal of American activity from the globe. You cannot have a vacuum in nature, and you cannot have a vacuum in international affairs. The retreat on the part of the Obama administration has created this kind of vacuum.
Exactly.
And the vacuum will be filled. It will be filled by Hezbollah. It will be filled by Hamas. It will be filled by the Russians, the Chinese, ISIS. But it will be filled.
How does this make sense? How does this make sense in any form and fashion? I just cannot believe that the president would be that ignorant. I mean, he seems to be disconnected from ancient history, thousands of years of history and conflict between the Arabs and the Jews. I mean, this is nothing new. I mean, as one of my good friends, Bill Salas, cited, he called it ancient hatred. It's been there forever. We've got generations of young kids that have been indoctrinated at early age, dare I say 4 or 5 year olds, their graduating class shows them, you know, killing Jews, how much they hate Jews, and they got to get them out of their land. The Palestinians have made it clear back to the days of PLO and Arafat not to negotiate one iota with Israel. And if anybody did agree to anything that Israel proposed, then they were to be treated as an infidel and murdered along with all their family members. How is that any basis for negotiation for peace?
Well, there isn't any. I mean, look, you had with Barack, when he was the president of Israel, a proposal to give up 95% of the West Bank. And Arafat at that moment said, no, we will not accept this agreement. Clinton tried to push him into the agreement. He still said no. And the reason why he said no is there's only one agreement from the point of view of Fatah. Mm. And that is from the river to the sea.
Exactly.
From the Jordan River to the Mediterranean. There is no Israel.
Right.
And so if you understand the nature of the mission that the Fatah has, as well as Hamas, it's very clear. There is no Israel. So if you accept the idea that there is going to be a Palestinian state, then there has to be the recognition of the state of Israel. That will not happen. That will not happen as long as the Palestinian leadership continues to insist that there will not be a state of Israel. And
well,
it's been clear, even from Abbas's point of view, that there cannot be an Israeli living in the territory of the Palestinian area. 2%, only 2% of the West Bank is filled with Jews.
Yes.
Almost all of it is Palestinians at the moment. And as a result of the Oslo Accords, they have control of the area. It's only 2% that we're talking about.
Exactly.
So, and almost any...
Well, Herb, we got to go to break. We're going to leave right there. We'll pick it up exactly where we left off when we come back from break, just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now. This is Bill Martinez. Dr. Herb London, president of the London Center for Policy Research, is with us, and our conversation continues right after this.
And now, three recent financial memories. Remember the market drops of 02, the financial crisis of 08, the flash crash of 2010. It's not if, but when. What do you have in place to protect your profits? OnTheMarkMoney.com introduces WealthGuard, a complete portfolio monitoring system that sends out direct alerts when your accounts hit a targeted downside value, and it works with all your retirement accounts, even 401k. Learn how to get WealthGuard free. Go to OnTheMarkMoney.com.
If you or someone you know is addicted to drugs or alcohol, please store this number or call right now. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078. By calling the Addiction Rehab Specialist, you're taking the first steps to recovery. Their advisors are ready to match you with a proven treatment center that will help you end your drug or alcohol addiction once and for all. Don't waste any more time with drugs or alcohol. Your future is still a bright place. Let the Addiction Rehab Specialist help you break your addiction to drugs and alcohol before it's too late. This call is completely confidential, and if you have private insurance, there will be little to no cost to you. Even if you've already been to treatment, give us a call. There's no need to let drugs and alcohol ruin your life. Take the first step now. Call the Addiction Rehab Specialist at 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas. When I was playing ball, they called me the Big Hurt. But after I left the game, Mother Nature started putting a big hurt on me. I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, it wasn't my fault. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. But luckily, I found out about Nugenix.
Nugenix is a unique man-boosting formula powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help boost your free testosterone levels. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME11 to 42424. With Nugenix, you can feel stronger, leaner, with a lot more stamina and energy.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix is GNC's number one selling men's vitality product. Get a complimentary bottle now by texting PRIME11 to 42424. Nugenix samples are not available in stores. So again, text PRIME11 to 42424.
We're all looking for safe, effective, and all-natural remedies for ourselves and our family. The solution is Simplex. Simplex oils provide natural anti-inflammatory and pain relief, antioxidant and nerve protection, and is an amazing topical acne removal and skincare supplement. Natural healing at a very affordable price. Find out more about our non-psychoactive CBD oil products. Go to SimplexSpecials.com. That's SimplexSpecials.com.
Every single day, promoting truth. Bill Martinez, live.
Still the number one movie around the country. Well, Walt Disney's having a great season, making lots of money. The sound of ka-ching you hear is that register coming loud from Disney Productions. Great job with Rogue One. Just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour, our conversation with Herb London continues. Herb, David French wrote this in the National Review recently. He said, no rational nation would agree to its own extinction, though so a hammer is necessary, one strong enough to drive a nation to make compromises it would never otherwise make. That hammer is terrorism, whether it's rockets from Gaza, incursions from Lebanon, or crazed knife attacks in Jerusalem. Terrorism is the force that's supposed to make Israelis ultimately beg for mercy. Of course, it's all condemned by the international community. They tut-tut when, you know, Jewish children die. But all that violence has to be understood. Oppressed people lash out against their oppressors. You see, one can't understand the international community's anti-Semitism without understanding the three great double standards that together gin up fake outrage against Israel and dupe the gullible into believing the big lie that Israel is the oppressor and Palestinians its chief victims. That is the big lie, isn't it?
I think it is a big lie. I think it's been a big lie for a long time. And as I indicated, you look at the compromises that Israel has been willing to make, including those that I mentioned by Barak when he was prime minister. There is no doubt that Israel has negotiated and has attempted to at least understand the concerns that the Palestinians have. And if you look at the Oslo Accords, what was that all about? That was mutual respect that was supposed to be achieved as a result of these accords. Well, what happened to that mutual respect? If you talk about the terror that David mentions in his article, there is no question that there's been increased terror attacks since the Oslo Accords. So there is, yes, a lie. There's a lie that I think is persistent, and it's persistent in the world community. And some of it might very well be anti-Semitism, but there is no doubt that the anti-Zionist sentiment is very, very widespread. And people do believe that Israel is the oppressor. And so when you have that view, then you say, well, if Israel is the oppressor, then it is appropriate to use terror against this oppressive force. Of course, that is the problem that Israel is facing today, and the reason why Israel has to be vigilant in the face of this kind of terror attack.
Well, the big question I hear, Herb, is the people ask, why would the president, on his way out the door, do this to our number one ally?
Well, why the reason for it, I mean, look, the president has had anger directed at Israel from the moment he walked into the White House. The 2009 Cairo speech made it perfectly clear that he was going to reset his exchanges with the Muslim community, and a lot of that was directed at Israel. He talked about the settlement movement throughout the 8 years that he was president of the United States. He has talked about the intransigence of Netanyahu. He was very angry when Netanyahu came and spoke to the Senate and didn't visit with him. So, I mean, there are reasons why I think this personal pique plays a significant role in the way in which Obama has responded. You also have to remember that in the case of Obama, you have a very thin-skinned individual who's enormously arrogant and believes that he understands things that others do not understand. Never underestimate the importance of this kind of personal behavior in the way in which people conduct their public affairs. So I do think that there are problems associated with the Obama presidency. But the manner in which he has now treated Israel clearly suggests that there is more at stake here than simply a relationship between the United States and Israel. This is an anger that is directed at the state of Israel and an anger that is not going to be very easy for Donald Trump and his new presidency to undo. That is going to be the real issue. What do you do next? I mean, if I were Donald Trump, the first thing I would do is to say, well, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. We're going to move our embassy there. And that's just not West Jerusalem, that's East and West Jerusalem. And the second thing I would do is probably cut expenditures to the contributions to the United Nations. And fourth is probably freeze the assets of the four nations that were responsible for the proposal in the Security Council. So, I mean, I think there are things you can do, but you're not going to undo the damage that has been done in the Hague International Court.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Well, if he does that, he's going to have to do that hard and fast. You know, in much the same way that Reagan chose to do when he dealt with the air traffic controllers, it wasn't any mealy-mouth kind of deal. It's like, here's the stand, and boom, and let it be written, let it be done.
I think that's right. I think that's precisely the way he has to do it. In the first 2 weeks of this new presidency, I think he's got to move in these areas.
Well, people wonder.
He seems to be inclined to do so, Bill. I mean,
yes.
The inclination, I think, is in this direction. Certainly, the fellow David Friedman, who has been assigned with this task of thinking through policies toward Israel, is very much inclined to move in this direction.
Well, let's pray that he has the courage. And, you know, and as Newt Gingrich pointed out, can he hold on to his convictions once he deals with the reality of the D.C. Beltway?
Well, there are the constraints of reality. Look, people go to Washington, D.C., and they campaign against D.C. They're always saying Washington is an open sewer. When they get there and they want to be darlings of the Washington Post, that sewer becomes a hot tub. So
exactly.
I've seen this happen time and again. Mm-hmm. And I think that what Trump has to do is to resist this temptation. It's what Marilyn Monroe once said, I can avoid anything but temptation. Well, I think that you've got to avoid temptation in this case.
Exactly. Yeah.
And in this, and since Trump is not a Washingtonian, since he doesn't march up and down the K Street, and since he is not a lobbyist and wants to obviously clean the swamp, it strikes me that he has a terrific opportunity to do things that other presidential candidates and other president-elects have not done.
And he's going to have the support of the people, big time, isn't he?
No question about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I think the American people are fed up with what's happened in D.C. And that, by the way, is not only the Democratic Party. It's the Democratic and Republican Party. I think that Trump represents a kind of sweeping away of almost all of the traditions of the past. And there are many in the United States, including those forgotten Americans, who say it's about time.
I mean,
if you have a president of the United States who's preoccupied with where people urinate and not concerned about the plight of guys who have lost their jobs working for steel companies, and are trying to raise three kids and are now working at Walmart at $12 an hour, then there's something fundamentally wrong with America.
Exactly.
And I think that that supposition goes right through the corridors of American life.
Well, it has been written of this president, President Barack Obama, that he is the most anti-Israel president in the modern era. The former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, the voice, trusted voice of Israel, said yesterday, Herb, he told us that that Barack Obama wants the same as the Muslim nations. When you consider his worldview, I'm not saying that he is a Muslim, but let's understand he was raised as a Muslim. So does he hold to those Muslim tenets that he was raised with as a child? That coupled with the indoctrination that he had from Frank Marshall Davis in his early years, Bill Ayers serving with Jeremiah Wright, the anti-American pastor in Chicago that believes that America got its riches by stealing, and that there is this unjust aspect of America that needs to be, doled out and evened out, so to speak. And it would appear that Barack Obama has appointed himself as the judge and jury of America's ills.
Well, he may be anti-American. He is certainly post-American in the sense that he is far more interested in international, a kind of internationalized world, a citizen of the world, rather than a citizen of the United States. When he was in Paris and said, "I am a citizen of the United, of the world," what mm-hmm. he was getting at is that I recognize the interests of world affairs more than I do the interests of my nation. It
exactly.
is not unusual for a president of the United States, like Donald Trump, to say, "America first. I want to concern myself with what happens here in the United States." Saying that in contradistinction to what was being said by Barack Obama clearly gave him a distinct edge during the course of this campaign, because there are many Americans, and I obviously fall into this category, asking the obvious question, when do you worry about the United States? When do our interests come first? I mean, I remember reading Lord Palmerston. He said, "Well, the interests of your country should always come first." Mm-hmm. What happened to America during the 8 years that Obama was president of the United States? Our interests were not first. And so I think that what Trump was doing was capitalizing on a sentiment that was percolating just below the surface. And he obviously took great advantage of it during the course of the campaign. And I hope we'll take great advantage of it now that he's president of the United States.
Well, after 8 years of Barack Obama and his policies that were on the ballot, you know, this last time around, the people started looking at the bottom line and saying, I don't get the hope and change that you proffered.
Right. Well, the seas obviously did rise, and obviously the world did not come to an end, but certainly is in disarray.
Without a doubt.
All of the promises that Barack Obama put in place have obviously not come to pass.
Yeah, we got to leave it right there. Dr. Herb London, I'm Bill Martinez.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-519-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-519-BACK now to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-519-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Martinez live.
Drag out the witnesses. We drag out those now. Living in our eloquence and other old lines.
Bill Martinez live.
Let me tell you, if you think it's hot now, get ready, ladies and gentlemen. It's only just begun. Because that's what happens when you have a country that's of, for, and by we the people, and we're as divided as we are. We've got to work through this. It's the grief to happiness ratio is what I call it, and that is where we are today, and happiness, hopefully, is where we will find ourselves down the road when this country truly is great again. Tom Rogan is with us. Always good to have Tom here, a contributor for Opportunity Lives, a panelist on the McLaughlin Group, and a senior fellow at the Steamboat Institute. Tom, Happy New Year to you. How are you?
Happy New Year to you, Bill. I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, Tom, the 115th Congress started underway, and of course, you know, not to be without its bit of frivolity and fun and all that good stuff, you know, and fake news surrounding it. We didn't get that five-minute expression of Judge Merrick Garland being imposed on this country by President Barack Obama, that goofy rumor that was running around, huh?
No. Look, I mean, it was amusing. I always enjoy it when those rumors go around because you know it's not going to happen, and it just shows they're showing their hand with the frustration, the resort to emotional stupidity instead of a rational strategy. So I enjoy those rumors when they come.
Well, sometimes the levity is good to kind of give us a break and draw a pause. But I keep saying, look, we got to get everybody serious on this. Let's get beyond this so that we can, you know, Democrat, Republican, Independent, we all have to be in. if we're going to get this country back on track. We cannot do it with one party. One party is what gave us the Affordable Care Act, after all.
I think that's exactly right. Yeah, you know, 100%. You need to forge bipartisan compromise, and, you know, hopefully we can get that done in the years ahead.
Well, it's a fresh new year, and with it comes New Year's resolutions, and you had some New Year's resolutions for this 115th Congress to embrace. Tell our audience about your column, if you would, Tom.
So I was talking about three different things that I thought the new Congress should focus on doing, and the first issue I talk about is really, I think, probably the most important, which is empowering the committee chairs, which is to say, whatever, you know, there are a number of select committees in Congress, but the idea being that if you empower committee chairs who are working every week behind the scenes, forging often very personal relationships with their Democratic opposites, and you have the opportunity to actually develop legislation that has a good chance of getting through Congress in a full vote, and that has the kinks, you know, the issues that perhaps might afflict other pieces of legislation already resolved because the committee has had the time to go through with a, you know, fine comb and essentially identify the issues and go through that fine comb and say, okay, let's resolve those issues. And
exactly.
And that was.
That's a great idea, Tom, and I believe one that's been greatly overlooked because when you think about the chairs and all the issues that they're dealing with, how can the leadership possibly manage all that? I mean, to centralize that kind of power back to the House and Senate leadership makes it quite cumbersome and impossible. And it's no wonder that the wheels of government move so slowly.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what it also does is it shows members of Congress that the leadership does appreciate, you know, their ability to get things done. There's a lot of frustration, Bill, in Congress because Congress has felt ignored by President Obama and because of the partisan rancor. And I think if you gave some space, and we've already seen this, by the way, we've seen this with the Cures Act that was recently passed, that a bipartisan compromise, but essentially had been worked on down in the committees and came to a popular vote, well, a vote in Congress and then passed through. A good piece of legislation that will benefit people, that will, you know, the major thing, I think, make sure that people who are suffering from those serious illnesses don't have to wait as long to get the FDA to approve things. So it's a good thing, and it's just an example of what could be done going forward.
And I like the idea, Tom. It broadens leadership. It's not focused on just a couple of people. Now you're raising up leaders in these various committees that empowers them in such a way that makes them an added powerful voice in the public square, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it gives you a chance as a country to develop, you know, the best possible talent that you can in Congress, but to form new sort of consensual arrangements, you know, again, between Democrats and Republicans, building that respect factor. And as that develops, and as the leadership at the center, whether that be the majority leader and Speaker Ryan, as they are sort of taking on more of a just, okay, let's bring it to the floor role,
right.
You know, I think there's a lot more potential to actually get stuff done. People forget that members of Congress, if they can, do want to get stuff done.
Exactly.
I think this opens the door to that. And it also does so in a way that, you know, if legislation is coming from Paul Ryan's office, very quickly you're going to see the battle lines between special interests form and criticize it in the media. If committee chairs and the deputy chair are working together, and there's less sort of room for that partisan buildup to occur until the last moment.
Well, Tom, what you're talking about is productivity. I think it's inherent in any human being of any kind of state and quality is that they want this sense of productivity. Part of what leads to fulfillment and happiness in one's life is they feel like they're earning their way. And as you say, we've got, you know, some really smart people there in D.C. We really do. And if they're hamstrung and not being productive, I mean, how much fun is that job?
Right, exactly. And you won't attract people into it and they won't stay in it. And so, yeah, you're right.
Without a doubt. You also say, another good resolution, I agree, importance of pursuing immigration reform. We really got to get serious about this once and for all, don't we?
We do. And I think actually, as much as some Democrats say, no way that can happen with Trump, I like that sort of saying, you know, only Nixon could go to China. I think that Trump has an opportunity there to actually, you know, to take that first step, you know, secure the border. And then from that, to move to a position where we, you know, I think allow some people to stay in, pay back taxes, and, you know, get that, just get it done with. Mm-hmm. We need to get it done with for a whole range of reasons, but, you know, why not now?
Exactly. You also talk about cutting federal grants to states that obstruct private opportunity. Break that down for us.
Yeah, so Bill, I think I could have been a little bit more clear there. But my main point was states where state legislatures, through Democratic governors, are taking action against firms like Uber and Airbnb and these sharing economy firms and trying to restrict those firms from operating. And I am essentially saying, okay, well, if you do that, that's all right. You have state authority. I think that's important. But if you do that, the federal government should restrict some of the economic grants, free enterprise zone grants that are deforced. Because, you know, the special issue with those sharing economy jobs and opportunities is that they empower people. They empower a lot of millennials, but they also empower a lot of people who want to make an extra buck through the possession of their own car or their own apartment or home. And I think there's a very important debate to be had there. And I think Republicans, if they're, you know, serious about it, can actually begin to say to millennials especially, look, we're on your side here. If you want to drive an Uber and make a couple of extra bucks, or if you want to use an Uber and not, you have to pay an inordinate amount for a taxi, we're your fan. And the Democrats are trying to prevent that because of their subservience to union groups. So that's essentially the crux of my argument there.
Well, in a sense, Tom, you know, what you point out here is the hope that a lot of Americans are feeling about this incoming administration, that it is going to unleash the potential business power that has been lying dormant for way too long in this country and is just eager to get expressed. So it's lead follower, get the heck out of the way. Maybe that's what we're coming down to. Tom Rogan, domestic policy columnist for the conservative website Opportunity Lives. Tom, thank you. Always good to have you with us.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Blood pressure tends to run higher during the day and lower during nighttime sleep. However, many people with high blood pressure don't exhibit this nighttime dip, a condition called non-dipping. More in today's AARP health tip after this.
Are you paying too much for your Medicare Part D prescriptions? At Walgreens, that's a question you won't have to ask. As a preferred pharmacy with many of the nation's top plans, Walgreens offers copays now as low as $0 on select plans. Millions of people have Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy in their network, which means you could be saving big. So switch your prescriptions and start saving today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Applies to Tier 1 generics.
Non-dipping is a major risk factor for stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. But studies show taking one or more of your prescribed blood pressure medications just before bedtime significantly decreases the risk. Of course, never change the timing of your medications without first consulting your doctor. For more, go to AARP.org.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent, and in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Sale of a Lifetime, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.saleofalifetime.com/free book. Again, that's saleofalifetime.com/free book.
Good day, America. Are you tired of your butt cheeks being frozen? Tired of cold hands or cold feet? I'm tired of the cold. Well, there's a new kid on the block. It's Fortress Clothing. Fortress will keep you warm. Fortress does what no other clothing company has ever done. We keep you warm in the cold, even when wet. You heard that right, even when wet. No BS, no gimmicks. Work, play, sweat in the cold, and stay warm. So quit your complaining and go to FortressClothing.com. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA and get 20% off any item. Mittens, jackets, pants, balaclavas, or hot socks. FortressClothing.com, enter coupon code AMERICA. You're going to love being warm all winter long. FortressClothing.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you. As always, great to have you along with us. And for more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. We encourage you to get involved in the conversation. Let us know your thoughts at BMartinezLive, especially with this next conversation that we're going to have with James Hurston. Yes, the one and only, no baloney, New York Times best-selling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. James, Happy New Year. How you doing, buddy?
Happy New Year to you, Bill. Doing great. Very optimistic about the new year.
I'll tell you, that is the general sentiment. It's interesting, though. You know, you got, again, it speaks to the diversity of our population and divided as it may be. We're looking at the same glass. Half are seeing it as half full. The other half seeing half empty. Go figure, right?
One side is seeing the glass as mostly full, and the other side seeing the glass as cracked and
yes,
ready to shatter. I mean,
yes,
they are really, really in hysterics, you know.
Right. And they just feel like it is their duty to save the country because this is to hell in the handbasket. They just cannot figure this out.
Oh, yeah.
Which
yeah,
is amazing.
The Huffington Post recently had an article urging impeachment proceedings to be prepared as soon as Trump is inaugurated. Impeach him right away.
Right.
And, of course, there's no grounds. That doesn't
matter. I was going to say, what's the basis?
It's just
yeah,
the idea of, and, of course, Rosie O'Donnell is going crazy and Charlie Sheen and others spouting things that you would expect the Secret Service to be knocking at their door the way
well,
they're
exactly
talking.
It's pretty reckless. I mean, you know, they talk about some of the things that Trump has to say. I mean, what they're throwing out there. I thought they were moving to Canada. What happened? Did their transportation get canceled? What happened?
No, not moving to Canada.
Oh.
No, they all said they were only kidding or in tears, you know, I'm forced to stay in this country because of my fans.
Yes.
And various excuses, but none of them moved,
and
unfortunately.
And the fans are dwindling.
We'd like them
going,
all to move.
Yeah, really. I think some people have offered first-class one-way tickets to wherever they want to go, you know, so what can you
sure
say? Well, you know, is it any wonder, James, you know, you've got the president on his now propaganda tour, rewriting his legacy. Valerie Jarrett, I don't know where she's been the last 8 years, but she says the president's especially proud that he hasn't had any scandals in his administration. What did we miss along the way? What did she miss? What do you mean no scandals?
It's not just that they lie. It's that they lie with such conviction and with such audacity, and they, as Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch said, it's delusional to say that.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about a scandal-ridden, catastrophic scandals, a list that goes on and on. Just the big ones are the Fast and Furious scandal, the Veterans Administration scandal, the Benghazi scandal, IRS scandal, you know, the Associated Press phone records and Fox News phone and email records, the NSA mass surveillance, the EPA river poisoning, the drone killings, the ransom payments to Iran. And it just, we could go on listing them ad infinitum. No administration has ever been as scandal-ridden as the Obama administration, and yet here comes Valerie Jarrett, the really the most trusted aide of President Obama,
right,
out there on national broadcasts saying that there hasn't been a scandal. It is, it's, I guess we have to say, though, this is the same president who said, if you like your doctor, you can keep it.
Right, exactly. And all
also
the many lies, yeah.
Who said, I was so impressed with the graciousness of the transition of the George W. Bush, you know, transition. I'm going to do the same for President Trump. And there, and then he goes out and sabotages at every turn, trying to harm both the agenda and the administration of his successor in a way that's unprecedented.
Right.
And you said a propaganda tour, you know, he's using Twitter, he's using his aides. Of course, his friends in the mainstream media are out there rewriting the Obama record. But here comes the entertainment industry, just like they always dutifully do.
Mm-hmm.
So a mere days before President-elect Trump is sworn in, Netflix has a docudrama, a two-hour-long movie that they've mm-hmm. picked up that they're going to debut. The title is Barry, mm-hmm. About a young Barack Obama. And the National Geographic Channel is dedicating an entire evening to legacy rewriting for Barack Obama. They're going to have two documentaries, not one, two,
mm-hmm.
an hour-long one and then a two-hour-long one, and both of them have the word hope in them. The first one's called Sea of Hope. The next one's called Price of Hope,
mm-hmm.
and it's all about Obama. And that's just the beginning.
Is the term fiction used in any way?
Yeah, it should be.
Oh.
You know, but we can expect this because we've seen articles in the mainstream media, in major newspapers particularly, trying to whitewash the Obama administration accomplishments and listing as accomplishments things that actually what most Americans would view as negative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his accomplishments in changing the definition of marriage, his accomplishments in taking thousands of acres of land away from the private sector with the stroke of a pen,
exactly.
His accomplishments with illegally using executive action and executive orders. I mean, these are not accomplishments. This is a very dubious record. And all we have to do is look at the stats. The number of people who are out of the labor force, which is now like something like 94 million,
right.
The growth rate, which is so anemic, the unbelievable disaster of police relations in this country falls directly at the feet of the Obama administration, scores of police being executed, and the foreign policy, which has left this nightmare in Syria, in Iraq, And now strained relations with Russia because, you know, but part of Obama's sabotage has been to expel Russian diplomats, which
it made a big deal, right?
Yeah, and thankfully, Vladimir Putin kind of just says, eh, you know, yeah. I'm waiting for Trump.
Right, exactly. But Benjamin Netanyahu said the same thing. Just, hey, just sitting back waiting for Trump.
What a petty, petty human being he shows himself to be. And I mean, it's what people who have been criticizing him have suspected, but now he's confirmed it. By the way, this these shows that are going to be on, I mentioned the first one is about Obama's young days. It's about him being a new student at Columbia University. Mm-hmm. And isn't it funny? We can't get a hold of his transcripts or his records, but somehow Hollywood could get a hold of
him. Yeah, they managed to get it. Well, I've talked to several people that graduated in his graduating class, and they don't remember him.
I've heard the same, and I know one in particular that I've talked to that says never heard of him, never saw him.
Right.
And it's relatively, a small place that people would know.
Exactly.
Interestingly enough, the other documentary, particularly the one called The Price of Hope, is mostly interviews, and people get to hear just mostly pro-Obama interviews, including Hillary Clinton, Leon Panetta, and Nancy Pelosi. Who is going to watch this?
Right. Well, this is a love fest with their own ideologues. I mean, James, these people all, I mean, I was shocked, I got to tell you. The time and place they still give to Donna Brazile, after lying to people, getting caught red-handed for cheating, she shows up on TV. Jonathan Gruber on Fox, of all things, Gruber, after he insulted the American public, said we're too stupid. That's why they had to, design the Affordable Care Act the way they did, because the American people just aren't smart enough to figure it out. And now he's back on TV. Why are we giving place to these people? Valerie Jarrett, the same way. I mean, to me, she disqualifies herself by making this kind of statement. It's like, wow, you are beyond delusional, and your kind of conversation you need to have in the faculty lounge or someplace where we all need a safe space from that kind of thinking and perspective.
Yeah, I expect more from Fox. I expect Fox to tell Jonathan Gruber to take a hike.
Yeah.
Valerie Jarrett, of course, appeared on CNN, and we know about CNN.
What a
failure as a news organization. And speaking of which, now we know that CNN did not, as they tried so hard, they didn't snag Megyn Kelly.
NBC did. NBC did. What did you make of that?
Well, I mean, Megyn Kelly's going to, her agent is very formidable, and Megyn herself is a very tough negotiator, and she went for, the best deal. But Andrew Lack, the executive from NBC, did something very smart, and it's an object lesson, because, the other networks that were trying to get Megyn Kelly just threw stuff on the table. He had a meeting with her, found out about her life and her personal needs.
Exactly.
And he crafted a deal that allows her to spend more time with her three small children and her husband, because what she's going to have at NBC is a daytime show, a Sunday night, sort of 60 Minutes style show.
Exactly. Right.
And then play roles in the, come in kind of
Barbara Walters style, like, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what it allows her to do is to have, get her kids off to school and have her dinner with her husband and kids that she hasn't had all these years.
And maybe attend a PTA or two once in a while. Huh?
And she might do that. I mean, from a business point of view, and Andrew Lack did, actually, it was very Trump-like. He outdid his competition and got her. But I do think...
Went to the meet. James, we're out of time, though, but as always, we'll pick it up next week. Happy New Year's to you. James Hurst, the New York Times bestselling author.
My name is Robin. I'm 47 years of age. I absolutely love One World Whey. It was about 5 years ago when a trainer told me it was the end-all of protein powders. One day when I ran out, I decided to try other brands. I spent 8 months and could not find a replacement. I went through tons of brands, types, and flavors, and almost all of them tasted unnatural and not pleasant. When it all boiled down, I came right back to One World Whey. I buy the cost-effective 5-pound container, and my family craves their One World Whey too. I look forward to and enjoy having my One World Whey and feel great after I drink it. Thank you, Synergistic Nutrition, for perfecting a protein powder in the product One World Whey. From taste to how it makes me and my family feel, you get an A++.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
This is Ben Gordon.